This time of year, you're going to find me jigging for crappies off my father-in-law's boat, celebrating a successful turkey hunt, or just sitting on the back deck watching time go by with a quality cigar from Thompson Cigar. Thompson Cigar has been around since 1915, offering the widest array of cigars and cigar accessories at very affordable prices. Thompson Cigar offers your favorite brands like Swisher Sweets, Cohiba, Backwoods, and Monte Cristo shipped fresh directly to your door. Also, be sure to check out their 5-pack fever deals and join their value club for big savings. Visit thompsoncigar.com and enter the discount code SE at checkout for 20% off of all orders over $75. Thompson Cigar, quality cigars at affordable prices. You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable. This episode of the Sportsman's Empire is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. Since 1952, Interstate Batteries has been evoking compassion and a trustworthy spirit into the surrounding communities. Interstate Batteries is a mission-driven company fueled by purpose and guided by their values. If you need help locating a specific battery, stop into your local Interstate Batteries retail store and speak with a battery specialist. They even offer cell phone repairs. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
We're leaving today and entering a world of Mickey Mouse waving, princess meeting and greeting, lightsaber clashing, the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror dropping, banshee flying, Space Mountain launching, galaxy rewinding, what's the whole network galaxy rewinding, fireworks igniting, world of other worlds. For whatever you love, infinite worlds await at the most magical place on Earth, Walt Disney World Resort.
Sierra has all the best active and outdoor brands you need, from athletic stuff, like a full-court pickup game, swish, to athletic-ish stuff, like a half-mile stroll. Get those steps in! And for morning hikes up the mountain trail, good pace, to nighttime ghost stories from the camping chair. What a twist! Whatever level of active, Sierra loves it all. Head to Sierra or Sierra.com for the brands you want at the prices that let you do it all. From athletic to athletic-ish, Sierra's got it.
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm-fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.
Welcome to the Missouri Woods and Water Podcast with your hosts, Nate and Micah. We got our buddy Nathan here tonight.
Other Nathan.
That's going to get confusing for me.
We've got Nathan Burdett here with Bird Eye Drone Services. So our first drone show, mm-hmm. which I am looking forward to.
Yeah, I'm excited about it.
And he is on the Missouri Woods and Water Podcast, not the PIDcast, whatever
yeah, no,
you said.
I F that up, didn't I? That's all right.
It is. We're recording this on January 15th, Nathan. And Micah killed a deer today.
Yep. Yeah, me and my wife have more confirmed kills with vehicles than CWD ever has. Starting this year.
Didn't even need the drone for it.
No.
You killed that thing right there.
So it's kind of funny. So my wife hit one like 2 months ago in her van. It fucked her car all up. It's been in the shop. So she's been driving my truck, and I've been driving a company truck. Well, sure enough, the guy called me yesterday. He's like, hey, your wife's car is going to be done either Friday or, you know, Thursday or Friday. I'm like, okay, sweet. I'm beep-bopping home today in the company truck. Sure enough, fucking deer runs right in front of me. Boom! I was pissed.
Yep.
I was pissed.
That's life.
We got another one for you.
Yeah. At least it wasn't your truck. I mean, I hate to say this, but at least it wasn't like your personal truck.
I mean, sure, but I feel kind of bad about it. You know, I called my boss. I'm like, hey, man, just so you know, I hit a deer.
Yep.
He's like, you okay? I'm like, yeah. He's like, is the truck total? I'm like, no, the lights.
Lights messed up.
Lights messed up. He's like, oh, I don't give a shit. It's all right.
Yeah. But, yeah, so today's show, we're going to talk about drone deer recovery. And maybe more than that. It's not the only thing you can use, you know, drones for. I don't know all the laws and legal stuff. You'll tell us something about that. But that's what we're going to do today. Before we get into the show, let's have Nathan introduce himself. Tell us about who you are, where you're from. Are you from Missouri?
I am from Kansas side, but I decided to buy a house in Missouri to get that in-state tags.
Tag. Yep. So should we make him answer the question?
See, but if you live in Kansas, then you can hunt Kansas, then you can just buy your over-the-counter.
Well, what I really fucked up with is not buying my lifetime Kansas before I came to Missouri.
Yeah, you should have done that.
Yeah. Wait a minute. So if you lived in Kansas, you could buy a lifetime, and that transfers anywhere?
And then if I would have moved to Missouri, I would have still been able to have that.
Oh, my gosh.
And I really screwed up big time when
How much was that?
I think it was like $500 or something.
Oh, that's
or,
it?
Or $1,000, something like that.
That's
something,
a no-brainer, though, right?
I screwed up.
Makes me want to move back to Kansas just for a few years just to do it.
I thought about trying to keep my license at my parents' address for a little bit and working the system, but I was like, I can't now.
I can't do it, yeah.
Yep. Yeah, it's too late. But
So introduce yourself. Tell us who you are, where you're from, and then we'll get into sponsors, and then we'll get into the fun part of the show.
Awesome. Yeah, so Nathan Burdett with Bird Eye Drone Services from the Kansas City, Missouri side, and started doing drone deer recovery for the first year this year.
Which is the first year it's been legal to do that
here
in the state.
Correct. And so I saw it from Mike up in Ohio, and, you know, I have a day job, desk job, and, you know, I like deer hunting too much, and I just said I needed to find something to kill time after work, and being a small part of someone's hunt and being able to change and flip the script to where they have that success, that's what I was really looking forward towards. And, it's taken off like crazy. I was telling myself and telling my wife, I was like, man, if I can get 5 calls this year, I said, I'll be happy.
Right.
And, 25 plus calls later and recoveries later, I'm like, yeah, I kind of blew expectations. And it's gone a little bit better than I thought. But, it's been really fun doing this and working with customers and meeting all different, you know, walks of life. And I can say some of those customers have become friends.
Sure, yeah.
And building those relationships. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, and for YouTube folks out there, we've got the drone right here.
Yep.
So we'll talk about it later and, you know, what it is and all the model, you know, different options out there, I'm guessing. Because, you know, I know of at least a handful of guys in Missouri that have started doing it this year. And I'm sure there's different options, different ones you can buy and, you know, all these different things that you can do with them. I know the guy, the drone deer guy out in Ohio, you said his name's Mike.
Mike,
I
yes.
I think that's right, yeah.
He runs those real big ones.
Yeah, he's got they're large, and like he can switch them to like live view from thermal to like see the animal moving and all kinds of options. So excited about hearing about because this is not something we really know about.
No,
other than the thermals we put on our guns to hunt coyotes.
Yeah,
we
that's what we know about.
Yeah, they'll find the coyotes. They'll find the coyotes.
One of them's up there. But so, yeah, let's do our sponsors real quick. We're going to do them with Nathan because we don't know Nathan very well, and so this will be fun just to see what he likes to use, what he does. Micah, we're doing evens. So let's start with Huntworth Gear. Use our code MWW15 for 15% off our stuff.
We're assuming that's still good.
I'm assuming you're a Sitka guy.
Yeah, I am.
He's wearing a Sitka shirt.
You don't like money? Is that thing? You just like to blow money?
You just like to blow money.
Yeah, I usually walk outside my house and I light it on fire pretty much.
Yeah, that's all right.
But
they like to give me shit because before we started working with Huntworth, I wore Sitka. And it works.
Yeah.
The stuff works. But if you ever get to a point where
Huntworth
like,
works.
Huntworth
and
works
a lot cheaper.
Really well.
That's what we're going with.
And it's good stuff. So and you know, good company, good folks. So use our code, check out their stuff. They've got stuff from like early season all the way through the heat boost stuff that we'll be
wearing right now.
Yep.
Black Ovis, use our code MWW10 for 10% off. We're looking forward to less than a month.
Yeah.
Less than a month, we will be at the Western Hunt Expo with Black Ovis.
They're in Salt Lake City.
They're in Salt Lake City in the middle of freaking February. But
yeah, when I was talking to work about it, they were like, yeah, that's fine. You can go. Just don't get snowed in.
I know. I'm a little worried about that.
It'll be all right.
But Nathan, do you know anything about Black Ovis? You heard of them?
I think I have heard of them, but I know nothing about them.
So that's been our kind of our goal. Black Ovis is a company that's based out of Utah. They're a Western, you know, Western company, and they're trying to grow their footprint here in the Midwest. And so that's kind of the, you know, one of the reasons we're working with them, and one of the reasons they brought us on as a partner 4 years ago is to kind of get to that, you know, Midwestern person that doesn't really know. But Black Ovis, you know, for the listener who doesn't know, is an online retailer. Is what they are. So imagine like a Shields or a Bass Pro online, and then they have their own line of
different types of
clothing.
Gear.
Nice.
And so
they got some of the best merino wool out there.
Do they?
In my opinion.
The best merino wool out there. Yeah. And you know, if you want to buy a tree stand or trail cams or whatever, that's what they do. They're their hunting retailer, and they only sell stuff on their site that they have vetted.
Nice.
You know, like, we like this stuff, we will sell it.
Tested it and proven.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because the owner of the company is an outdoorsman. He hunts all the time, all over the place. And then they've got a sister company, Camo Fire.
Oh, yeah.
Which is an app.
You know about Camo
Fire? I know about Camo Fire.
That's the same company. Camo Fire and Black Ovis are the same company, sister companies. Camo Fire actually started before Black Ovis, technically. And Camo Fire is that app that I get on each morning when I'm doing some duties. And
what are the deals of the day?
We might get to pick.
Did you talk to him about it?
I talked to our buddy.
Nice.
We might get to pick the deals.
Do we get to tell the percentage off?
I have no idea. 99.9%
off. Pay for shipping.
But sometimes you're just scrolling through and you buy stuff you didn't even realize you needed.
Yo, absolutely. You
know? Yeah. There's always something good on there.
To this day, one of my favorite items is my gear hoist.
Really?
For my, what do you call it? My saddle.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Hawk gear hoist. It's just paracord with a little carabiner on the end of it, and it's wrapped around like a kite. You remember when you were a kid, you flew kites?
Yep.
And it's just wrapped around that, and it's just quick and easy for me, and I stick it in my pouch for my thing, put my bow out, you know, get it out, and then just climb the tree, and then pull it up.
Dude, nothing.
And I bought that from Camo Fire. Gosh, it's got to be 8 years ago at this point.
Nothing is worse than climbing up a tree and just using a rope or something and then trying to figure out how to untangle that sucker at the base of it or then trying to get it back together when you're getting down.
It's been and then when I get down at night, I'll lower my bow back down and then I just toss it.
Yeah.
And then when I get down, I wrap it back up and move on. It's
nice.
It's been pretty sweet. I've got other gear hangers or gear hoists, but I don't use them. So that was a Camo Fire special. I think it was like $11. On X, use our code MWW20 for 20% off. That gets overdrive work for us this time of year. I'm guessing you use mapping services quite a bit. On X, one of them.
On X is my key piece that I use. It's able to help me when I get on site with the hunter, and I can pull those maps up and have them walk me through the shot, kind of where they think that deer was headed. It gives me a good idea of, you know, not only the lay of the terrain, but looking at that topography and seeing, you know, these are real steep bluffs. So if you have a wounded deer, he's probably not going to go up that bluff. And so I can kind of narrow down my search margins and start kind of gridding it that way. So it's a huge tool that I utilize, not only for the drone service, but even deer hunting myself and turkey hunting and all that stuff. So
that 3D exaggeration has been
game changer
for me.
Yeah.
Because I felt like I was pretty good at reading maps.
Mm-hmm.
And then I get out to places, I'm like, this isn't what I thought.
Is that on the phone?
Yeah, you can do it on the phone too.
Yeah.
Really? Yep.
So when we waterfowl hunt too,
help you find those marshy areas.
Well, that's the biggest thing is looking at ponds.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of ponds that show that they have water in them. And then when you turn that 3D on and they're like, oh shit, there's no water in there.
Right.
And you're able to see more up to date mapping. It's pretty insane. So.
Yeah, it's one. They've done a lot of things. The rangefinder option is nice. It's like this last tournament we were doing, coyote tournament. It was really foggy in the mornings, and so none of our rangefinders were working.
Okay,
because the laser just couldn't find anything.
Yeah,
and so I would just sit down and two fingers.
Yep,
250 yards. And that's close enough for government work.
Gives you a good rough estimate.
Athlon Optics, company based out of Lenexa, Kansas.
Yep.
Great folks out there. All of our rifles at this point, I don't even own a different scope anymore. I used to have a couple different ones, and they all got sold. And you ever used an Athlon scope?
I have not, but I've heard of them, and I've heard they're actually a really decent scope.
Really
best bang for your buck is what I've heard.
Yeah.
Is if you don't want to spend, you know, $2,000 on a scope and you want a little bit something better, you're going to get good quality from them.
You can. They have a – it's called the Kronos. They've got a really high-end one.
Okay.
They've got high-end scopes, but that's what I like about them. They've got high-end scopes, and they've got scopes for $200.
Yeah.
And every single one of them is backed by a
lifetime
warranty, no questions asked.
And that's what people buy.
Yeah. And they stand behind it. I remember I had a scope. It was the Helos, actually. And I'm going to probably get made fun of for this, but when I was putting it on, I didn't realize it didn't have a locking turret on one of the turrets.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm sitting there screwing with it, and I ended up like banging it, thinking it was like stuck on the counter. And I finally like get to look in it, and it's not locking. It's an unlocking turret. So that's why it wasn't going up. So I ended up reaching out to Athlon. I'm like, hey, I screwed up, and I ended up banging this thing because I thought it was already broken. And he's like, sounds like it is broken. And I'm like, probably. Although it looks like it probably works. He goes, we'll replace it.
It sounds like it's broken.
Yeah. And that's the type of company they are, and they're good folks. Alps Outdoors, they've got just a myriad of stuff. Use our code 2024 Woods Water. Not sure if it still works or not. We're still kind of working out details with them. But it was a 30% code. Try it out. All kinds of awesome stuff. Packs.
Yeah, camping, hunting.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
I use the Elite Pack out west.
Yeah.
They've got, and now the Elite Pack comes in a 5,500 or something like that cubit.
Oh, dang.
Yeah, they've got all three options. Big dog, huh? Yeah, so they got the 18, the 33, and the 55, somewhere in there. And actually, the 33, they make a attachment to it that turns it into like a 5,000.
Wow.
That's just like it hooks to the back. Man, so you don't have to actually
that's
put
for the that's like multiple days out. I feel like I could make what we got now, the 33s.
Yeah.
I could make that 33 last 2 days.
You think?
I bet I could.
In Wyoming, the 33 lasted me 2 days, but sometimes I wished I had a little more, just a little more room. And so that 55, I think you could get 4 or 5 days, 3, 4, 8 days out of it easily.
So you say it goes from 33 to 55 almost?
Somewhere in there.
It's nice having that flexibility, though.
Yeah. And it's not really that going to be that much bigger. And they all use the same frame.
Mm-hmm.
All those packs are on the same frame. So you just undo the pack and put the new one on.
Buy one frame and you can get all three.
I've got all three of them in the basement over here.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah, they're pretty sweet. And then, you know, stuff like the Tri-Leg stool, cheap little $20 stool, that's what we coyote hunt all the time. When we're hunting off the ground, I think you listened to our show where my son and I killed that big buck off the ground. We were both sitting in a Tri-Leg stool.
Really?
That's just, when I'm ground hunting, that is with me. So when I go in with my saddle stuff, because sometimes I don't know if I'm going to be on the ground or in my saddle, just depends on what I find. And if I like the trees, I'll get up in a tree. And if I don't, I'll sit. So the saddle is always with my stuff. Or not the saddle, I'm sorry, the Tri-Leg stool.
Okay.
It's always with my sticks.
Yep.
And then if I don't need it, if I'm going to climb, I just sit at the base of the tree.
That's nice.
And go up. Yeah, and then if I use it, all the saddle stuff sits on the ground. So I've found that several times, especially with this new property we hunted this year. You'd get somewhere and you're like, not so sure I like any trees here, or they're all crap. You just end up sitting on the ground. So that Tri-Leg stool has been worth its weight in gold.
Definitely.
For us.
Habitat Works. Use the code. Well, no, you got to mention us. Yeah, just mention us.
Just call Dustin, man.
Yeah, give him a call.
816-752-7390. He's one of the smartest land people you will ever meet. We are going to have multiple shows with him this year about different topics. And so we're excited to do some stuff with him again. And then finally, Reveal Cameras by Tacticam. I went and pulled cameras on two different properties this last weekend. Found one of your cameras in the snow.
Yeah, I remember. You called me, and you're like, dude, I think someone stole your camera.
Yeah.
And I got to thinking, I was like, well, that sucks. And then after you hung up, you found it. And finally, I was like, oh, yeah, I remember that thing fell over.
It was weird because it was on a post, on one of the reveal posts.
Yeah.
And the post was sitting there, like not perfectly straight up, but not like over on the ground. It was just, and I'm like, where's the camera?
Right.
So immediately I thought, oh, this camera's gone. And I ended up kicking about like 3 feet worth of freaking dead leaves out trying to find it. And I ended up just stepping on the antenna in the snow, pull it out, and the cover is open and it's got all lights on taking pictures of me.
Really?
Yeah.
That's so, crazy.
That's something to say.
That's pretty cool.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Tacticam is game changer for sure, too. I mean, we use it for waterfowl all the time.
Really? Do you really?
Yeah. So we'll, you know, deer hunting is game changer because it allows you not to go into disturbed areas you don't want to go into every single 2 weeks. You know, you're up at your farm or your lease or whatever it is. But we got several ponds that we'll throw Tacticam out and, you know, we'll wait for the birds to get there. And when the birds get there, that's when we go in and hunt. And
I never thought about that.
And so we'll take an ice ripper, open up the hole if it's, you know, frozen over, and we'll be able to see what's there. And it's game changer knowing which pond to hunt, and helps with scouting a little bit for sure. So
I have never thought of. I mean, I don't give a shit, but I've also never.
It's not that we don't give a shit. we haven't gone down that rabbit hole.
Yeah.
So we didn't think about
it.
See,
I'm trying to. My brain has to continue not to care about it at all.
Right.
Because if you let one little, like, within 6 months, I'll have another addiction, and that just can't be happening.
$1,500 in decoys.
It just cannot be happening in my life.
Yeah. You ought to come waterfowl hunting with us.
No, can't do it, man.
Can't do it.
Got too many crutches.
You know
already.
Why? Because I went coyote hunting one time, and 14 different rifles later, and thermals and all this crap later, and I went bow fishing one time with these guys. And I haven't really fell off, but I enjoy it. And we've bought bows, and now Andy bought a boat a couple, 2 years ago. He hasn't done much with
it. Yeah, he hasn't done. He bought it, and that was it.
But still.
I promise you, I'll take you on a really bad hunt. And you won't.
So I'll hate it so bad, I'll be like, well, that was stupid. I've duck hunted one time in my life. My brother-in-law took me on, like, a family pond or lake, and I think like a handful of ducks came in, and it was cool, like hearing them, you know, just all of a sudden.
Yeah.
I missed every time I shot, and I've never goose hunted, nor do I want to, just because I know it's going to be fun.
It's super fun. You can shoot the shit out there in the blind. You don't have to worry about scent control.
You can just be loud and make. I've seen some of these guys making breakfast and freaking. Oh yeah. Oh my god. Yeah. It looks like it'd be a hoot, but. I like my marriage is the other thing.
Yep.
So that's our sponsors for today. Thank you, everybody. You know, this is kind of that time of year where we got to make changes and plans on what we're doing for 2025, and we couldn't do this show without them. So thanks to all of them, and you know, make sure you patronize them. Is that the right word?
I don't know.
I think it is.
Sure.
Make sure you patronize, you know, those sponsors. They
buy their shit.
Buy their shit, yeah. But, yeah, let's talk
drones.
Drones. So, my first question is, you said you were, you know, bored, basically. Yep. You had to find something to do, but there's a lot of things you can do. There's strip clubs.
There's bars.
There's crack. There's all kinds of things you can try.
Yeah.
What made you say, I'm going to try, you know, doing drone deer recovery? Like, where did that come from?
Yeah, I just have a huge passion for the outdoors. Mm-hmm. You know, whenever I can, I'm either trying to hunt, I'm scouting, I'm doing whatever it is to get in the outdoors, and sitting behind a desk all day is pretty boring. And so with all my free time, I saw Mike up in Ohio doing it, and I was just like, I think I can do that. Mm-hmm. And I've flown a little drone before I got this one, so I was familiar with them. And, you know, again, I really wanted to – one, be able to flip the script on someone's success story, whether it was a first-time hunter, whether it was their biggest deer, or whether they're just trying to recover the buck that they shot, target buck, whatever it was. And I also went into it, too. I was, you know, with the amount of people that, you know, aren't getting into hunting, and it's kind of a dying breed, you know, you take a youth hunter out, for instance, and they go hunting and they make a bad shot.
Right.
And their hopes get let down, and you know, they might never hunt again. And so I was like, if I can find one kid that I can flip the script
and
recover that deer, they might be hooked for life.
Right.
And so that was part of it. and yeah, just kind of blew up. There's a ton of operators in the state of Missouri. Mm-hmm. There's going to be a lot of drone equipment for sale, I think, at the end of this season.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people aren't getting calls like they thought they would. But, mm-hmm. Yeah, if you go out and you do a great job for people and you provide the best service, you're gonna do pretty decent in this space. So
I mean, you made the decision to do it.
Mm-hmm.
The first step would be to purchase your drone, I'm guessing, right?
Yep.
I mean, I'm guessing you thought of your name, which, by the way, your last name just kind of, that made it easy.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't even know why you had to ask people.
Yeah,
you know, what do you think for a name, a Bird Eye?
I sent it to a couple buddies, and I was like, what do you think of these six names? And they were like, you got to go with Bird Eye. And I was like, all right.
It's pretty simple.
Yeah, no brainer there.
Say less.
But yeah, so, by the way, kids, don't do crack or go to strip clubs. Just saying. So you had to purchase your drone. So the first, I mean, that technology has changed probably so much since, like, Mike has been doing it for several years now. When he first started doing it, I'm guessing the amount of drone options has quadrupled, all the different things you can do with drones. You know, what did you look for? You know, did you say, hey, I've got this much to spend.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I'm going to try to find under it. Or did you start looking for options? You know, like, what made you choose whatever the hell that is?
Yeah, so this is a DJI Mentrice 30T. And so there's a couple options. DJI owns probably 90% of the market. They are the sole leader with capabilities, their drone quality, the parts. Mm-hmm. And so when I was looking, I was primarily looking at them. I did search other, you know, U.S.-based drone companies, but they just didn't have the capabilities that DJI did.
Gotcha.
And so really there was two options when it came to thermal drones with DJI. You had the M3T and then the M30T. And so the M3T is probably like, I'd say, a quarter to a third of the size of this drone. It's a lot smaller.
And that's not even very big.
No. Yeah. And so that drone is probably about, I don't know, give or take $4,000 or $5,000. And you can get by with it. But the big difference is this drone right here can fly in inclement weather. And so when it's snowing, when it's raining, I can fly when you can't. And
probably like battery life and stuff like that too, right?
Yeah, so battery life, this one does have a little bit longer than the M3T, but what the difference is between this and the M3T also is it has a 200 times zoom on it, versus the M3T has, I think, like a 5, 10, 15 times zoom. I honestly don't even remember. I did this so long ago, but...
you don't remember the details about the thing you didn't buy.
Exactly.
Right.
So I can be up 300-350 feet in the air, and when I turn on my infrared light, when I find that heat signature, when I put on the infrared light, I can zoom in being 300-350 feet up in the air, and I can tell you exactly where that deer has been shot.
Oh wow.
And so if you were to walk outside, Micah, and put your hands up and hold fingers, and I was 300-350 feet up in the air, I'd be able to tell you how many fingers you're holding.
That's pretty impressive.
So
that's cool.
Yeah,
it's pretty crazy.
It's like 7 degrees outside, but we almost have to see what this thing does.
I'm kind of hoping he messes with it whenever. we can
definitely throw it up, and I can show you some of the capabilities. Maybe there'll be a coyote out back.
I'm willing to bet money there's a coyote.
There was this morning.
If he's there, I'll find him.
Yeah. So there's not. I was expecting there to be, so like our thermal scopes for our guns, there's dozens of companies, and each company has a dozen options, and it is overwhelming is not the term I want to use, but there's a lot to think about. You know, there's 640, mm-hmm. there's 384, there's all kinds of different options when it comes to, you know, zoom capabilities and all these things. So I just assumed that drones were kind of the same way, where, you know, there's 150 different options and you got to figure out which one works for you.
There's really not a ton of options out there,
which is probably, like, for me, that'd be a good thing.
And so you know, being in the drone space and having previous drones, I knew about, you know, the different manufacturers mm-hmm. of them, and again, the quality of DJI versus some of your other drone companies. you know, it's just superior to them. And so when I was looking, I did look at them, and based off the schematics and what their specs were, I was like, doesn't even compare to it. So kind of pushed those to the side and started focusing on DJI, and mm-hmm. they only had two options at the time. And I was like, well, I can go, you know, the cheaper route,
A
which
or B
with that, or I can invest some of the money and be able to, you know, have a few more capabilities in that, yeah. that smaller drone.
If you're anything like me, Micah, I'll be honest, you do a good job of being happy with what you have. Like,
thanks.
I don't, you know what I'm saying? Like, you don't be like, damn, I wish I would have got that one.
Right.
But if you're anything like me and there's two options and one option has more features, more things, mm-hmm. I almost always am like, wish I would have bought the more expensive one.
Yeah.
You know, after the fact.
Most of the time, though, you're a buy once, cry once guy. And I would assume probably in the drone world, that's probably pretty close to the same.
Yeah. You know? And that's the thing, too, is like, if I kept telling myself, I was like, you know, I base my company off quality service, and I want to give the best possible scenario when my customers call me to go out and locate their deer. And so I wanted to invest that money and to spend up, you know, if I'm going to charge these people money to come out and find their deer, I want to give them the best possibility to recover that deer in every scenario. So,
and in a lot of things, now this is not true. My dad said this to me back in the day. And I feel like in a lot of spaces, it does ring true, but, you know, the term, you get what you pay for.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
A lot of times that is true.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there's other times where I'm like, actually, Huntworth gear compared to Sitka.
Yeah.
You can't prove to me that Sitka's worth double.
Yeah.
You know, now I'm saying it's good.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
But I'm telling you, that Huntworth coat just as good. Right. And so there's times where I don't always believe it, but I'm guessing in this, like, you go buy a $2,000 drone mm-hmm. compared to a, you know, $10,000, $15,000 drone or whatever, you're going to see the difference obviously.
When it comes to technology, I'd have to agree. I mean, it's like going to buy a TV. You go spend $2,000 on a TV, you're going to see a difference in, you know, a $100 TV.
Yeah,
for sure.
So you came up with your drone. What do you have to do, like, legally to be able to fly
and use this? I was curious about that, yeah.
Yeah, so to fly commercially for and to get money revenue out of a drone business, you have to have your Part 107. Mm-hmm. So I had to, you know, study up a little bit, and then I had to go into an FAA certified testing center and take a test. And I have to maintain that every 2 or 3 years. I've written down a spreadsheet again, mm-hmm. not worrying about it till about two or three years. Yeah. You have to take that, and then once you have that, you're ready to go. And so with that test, it goes through all of the FAA airspace regs, all that stuff. So knowing, you know, you can't fly when you're X amount, you know, close to an airport. Or, and on my controller, it will show the airspaces around it, so I'll be able to say, you know, I can't fly in there, or I have to go get permission and submit something to be able to fly in that. And so,
and that can take time, right? Like, that can take weeks to get that permission from.
It depends. So luckily I haven't had to do that yet.
Right.
So I haven't experienced, messing with, that request yet, but, sometimes when you submit a Lance, if someone has already submitted it and you are just trying to fly, you know, with a Part 107, and when you're flying a drone, the max you can fly is 400 feet. Unless you're at a tall structure, you can go 400 feet above that structure. If you're doing some sort of observation on the structure, if you're surveying it, stuff like that.
Yeah.
But if you have the drone and you're trying to figure all that stuff out, it is very helpful to have that Part 107. Mm-hmm. So you don't have the FAA calling you and being like, what the hell? Did you guys see the California fires? And there was a tanker out there that's, you know, putting water out, and a drone hit one of the tankers.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, the one that scoops the water out of the lake.
Yeah,
yeah.
And
put a hole in it.
So FBI, FAA, they're investigating. And
did you see the Eagles Packers game, the playoff game?
Yep.
There was a drone outside the stadium, and they would have, like, shut the game down if it actually
crossed into the stadium.
Yeah. I guess it didn't. But
So I'm glad I'm not that pilot out there in California that was flying, because they are just fucked. And they'll find them. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that drone didn't make it, I'm sure.
I would say probably not.
But I'm like,
yeah, it put a hole in the plane, did it not?
You said what?
It put a hole in the plane.
Yeah, I thought it was like a three, like
that's
a,
what I thought.
Like a foot to 3 foot hole.
They lost
in the
like
plane.
A lot of water.
Oh yeah,
for putting the fire out.
Yeah,
yeah,
they had to land
drone.
It.
That's crazy.
Yeah,
yeah.
I'm sure there's some type of like serial number or something like that on there. That's bonded to like you. So whenever they look that up,
although,
your name comes
although
up.
Although I picture this like this old dude or something like at the lake just enjoying his day. Like, these fires are stressing me out. I'm gonna go fly my drone and just. And he's sitting there just hovering. He's just, oh, man, this is beautiful. And next thing you know, just a shroom.
Yeah.
That big-ass plane. And he's probably like, what the hell just happened?
Yeah.
I kind of picture that dude that just has no idea what just happened.
Yeah.
Of course, I don't know the whole story, but.
He went back into his cabin trying to hide.
Right. Now he's like, well, that was a bad idea.
But, yeah.
But yeah, anyway, yeah.
You have to have a serial number and register your drone with the FAA, too. So that serial number is with them.
Mm-hmm.
And they track all that stuff too. So, like I said, the guy in California, he's going to be in a bad
situation.
A lot of fines coming his way, I'm sure.
I'd say so.
Like, interesting.
He might be the owner of a plane here soon.
little off topic, but you said you can only go up to 400 feet.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
What's the capability of that thing? Like how high could you fly that thing if you wanted to?
Shit. Probably as high as you want to until it runs out, but I haven't tried it.
Until you lose connection.
Yeah, yeah. It's all about connection. I mean,
I know my son got this little toy drone
mm-hmm.
2 or 3 years ago for Christmas, and it was just a little bit of a breeze the day he decided to get crazy, and so he got it like, I don't know, 150 feet up in the air, and the wind took it. Oh, my gosh. I mean, I barely could see it over there by the time. And he lost connection and couldn't control it.
Yeah.
We ended up finding it in the farmer's field the next morning or 2 days ago. But it kept connection for quite a while because he was trying to get it back. And it's just a cheap little toy drone that was like this big.
Yeah.
You shouldn't even had it outside.
One of those Timu ones.
I don't even know. And but it did a good job.
So that thing's rated to go about – it says it can go like – 9 to 10 miles out.
Holy crap.
However, that's all dependent. I mean, that is perfect conditions.
Right.
No interference with the signal. I've had it at about 1.5 miles max.
Get you a little worried.
Yeah, it goes in and out of signal, and that's because you got trees, you got hills, you know, you got buildings, all that stuff around. And so that's kind of what I've maxed it out. And, you know, if we have to move, we move. But that, and then it's rated to fly in about 50-mile-an-hour winds.
Wow. Damn,
and so
really
the most I've flown it in is about 40-mile-an-hour winds, and it did fantastic,
fine.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So it's a beast when it's up in the air, and it can get through and rip. So it goes about 50 miles an hour when I put it in sport mode. So it's flying pretty
know.
Quick.
Yeah.
See, I want one for I think it would be – handier than hell for like scouting.
Well, and we're going to talk about that at some point, because there's other
applications.
Other revenue streams.
Oh,
let's
talk
about.
So
you know,
many
that
things.
That are outside of just the drone deer recovery.
Oh, yeah.
That I'm sure you're thinking about, you know, after today.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you can't do this in Kansas yet, sounds like, which sucks. You're right there in Kansas City.
Yep.
Although I guess not in Illinois either.
Can't do it in Illinois. Can't do it in Iowa.
So how many states. Do you know off the top of your head? I mean, I know Ohio's one of them that you can do
Ohio,
and now Missouri.
Ohio, Pennsylvania.
Which surprises me that Missouri is allowing
that. Oh, yeah,
I'm happy about it, but it surprises me.
I was shocked when they legalized it as quick as they did, because Kansas, Missouri are usually one of the later states to incorporate things.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, I'm happy for it, because think of how many deer have been lost just because they lose blood trail, or rain comes in and washes the blood.
So let's talk about a call.
Okay.
You get a call from a hunter.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where I want to tie into dogs too.
Sure.
Because Matt Davis with Broken Arrow,
Yep.
Recovery. We've had him on the show. He's a great guy. We've, you know, texted back and forth. He's went and found several deer friends. You know. When you think about calling a dog or a drone, you know, you call them, Mm-hmm. And, you know, what's some of the things you do right off the bat when a hunter calls you? Do you ask the same sort of questions that Matt asks, or are you just like, I'll come find it? Like, yeah. What's the difference between, you know, I guess that sort of, you know, setup?
Yeah, yeah. And I don't know what kind of questions he asks, but yeah, when someone calls.
It's usually just shot related. Like, hey, how did you feel about the shot? Do you know exactly where the shot was? Do you have video you know, of the shot? What did the deer do? How did it act? You know, that's just that sort of stuff. Did you bump it? Did you go looking for it? You know, all those things.
Yeah, and I would say we're kind of right on par with that. Yeah. And, you know, when someone calls me, I want to be confident when I go out there that, you know, again, I'm not wasting customers' money and time and kind of want to walk them through what my, you know, opinions are of what this deer is, whether it's a 4, 6, 12 hour, 15 plus hour, we need to wait until we go in and try and recover that steer. And, but yeah, when they call me, I'll have them walk me through the shot. You know, I'll ask them, you know, how far was the shot? Was he broadside, quartering to you, quartering away? Where do you think you hit him? Was it a pass through? When the deer ran, you know, did it have its tail tucked? You know, what was the deer's mannerisms when it was running? To try and get an idea, and that gives me an idea with the information they provide, which I'll say half the time people call me, they're like, oh, it just happened way too fast, and and I don't know.
They're like, I can't find him, but I dumped a lung to his ass.
Yeah.
Well, those two things don't usually go hand in hand.
Yeah, there's been a lot of times they're like, I swear I center punched him, and it was, you know, right in the right
buck,
in the sweet
spot. Buck fever is a legitimate thing. I'm not
your journalist.
I'm not laughing at anybody for that. Yeah,
it happens.
Yeah, but yeah, those are the questions I'll ask, and then based off that, you know, I'll tell them, you know, I can be out there in X amount of hours, or I can come right now.
I'm guessing you have those nights where you have to say no because you're already going. You're on your way to St. Joe.
Yep.
To go do one, and some guy calls you in Harrisonville and needs you to come, and you can't be. I mean, hey, I can come later potentially, but you know, this is a perfect spot to I guess talk about this. So because I hear a lot of this, and I want to kind of, well, I want to give my opinion on it. So the next thing they always ask you is what, how much?
Yep.
So what are what are some of the chart, like, do you charge for mileage, and what, you know, what's like an average that someone can expect to spend?
So I would say, so I'm in a group with all, I mean,
different ones.
Yeah. I'd say a majority of the licensed and insured drone operators in the state of Missouri. And I would say the average that someone is charging is about $350 to $400 to show up. And
I was going to say, that's cheaper than I assumed.
And yeah, I saw one post one day, and I want to say it was like $500 to show up, and I was like, ooh, that's a little steep.
But let's table that. Continue.
Yeah, and then usually if you locate the deer, it's another $100.
It's like a bonus.
Yep. It's kind of like a you know,
good boy.
That's my challenge. Go find the deer to get paid a little bit more, and then, you know, anything outside of 60-mile radius, I'll charge $1 per mile for fuel and for maintenance on the vehicle, all that stuff. But, you know, again, I understand it. Being a deer hunter, I know you got taxidermist bill on top of that. You got processing, all that stuff. So
I understand all those things.
Yeah.
And it's this, you know, Matt and the dog guys get the same questions.
Yep.
And I get it. It is hard to spend money, you know, when you don't expect to have spent money.
Oh, yeah.
But the way I look at it is this. You spend, let's just talk about bow hunters right now. You spend thousands on a bow.
Oh, yeah.
You spend hundreds on arrows. You spend potentially hundreds on your broadheads if you're an idiot like me and go buy $150 for three broadheads.
Yeah.
Broadheads. You spend how much on your tree stands, your saddles, all the different stuff,
I mean,
right?
Yeah.
You'll spend $1,500 for a taxidermy bill on that same deer.
Yep.
But you don't want to drop $500 to find it.
Yeah.
And which, like I said, I understand, but to me, there's two arguments. If you're going to make that phone call, you know, it's probably a deer that means a lot to you.
Sure.
Whether it's a big buck or it's your first buck. Like, I'd spend $500 if he shot a 140-inch deer this year and we had to try to find it because it's my son.
Yep.
But it probably means a lot to you. And there's a chance to find it that you might not have otherwise, don't you kind of owe it to that animal
100%
to do everything you can? And I understand that, you know, it's going to cost you $500, but it costs you $500 when you back into someone's bumper and you have to get it painted for them.
Yep.
You know, or whatever. I mean, not that it's kind of like that idiot tax. I'm not trying to say it that way.
Yeah.
But to me, your shot was marginal enough that you're not sure it's dead or you're not sure where it is.
Mm-hmm.
This is where, shit, you know, it's kind of like, hey, it's going to cost me $500 more.
Got whether, paid Piper.
Yeah, whether it's you wait a year to get it, you know, mounted because you got to save that $500 back.
Sure.
I mean, aren't you happy if you find it?
Yeah.
And that, so that's, I mean, you know, there's a lot, I'll be on Facebook pages or whatever and somebody will say, call, you know, I hit a deer this far back and somebody will say, you know, call for a drone or call for a dog. And then the reply is, that shit's too expensive. I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
Well, then why did you shoot the deer? I mean, if you're just going for meat, then why did you, you know, why are you so worried about finding them, you know, that sort of stuff. So, I mean, it's kind of six and one half does the other. You want to pay the piper or do you not? And I feel like sometimes it's just like that's the one thing. Well, I don't need to be paying this, and so I'm not going to try to, you know, do it. Maybe I'll just keep walking.
But that's kind of my biggest thing. You hit the nail right on the head is, you know, why shoot the deer if you're not going to try and spend every means necessary to recover that deer? You know, you do owe it to that deer. If you're a true outdoorsman and trying to recover that deer, whether it's for meat on the table, whether it's your target buck, your biggest buck, your first buck.
Yeah.
You know, I think you owe it to the animal. And yeah. Just like you said, every bow hunter, every gun hunter, they spend thousands of dollars on equipment, tags, stands,
blinds,
everything.
Yeah.
Fuel to get to where they got to go, potentially.
Leases so, on those pieces of property, possibly.
Yeah. Yeah. So
I'm guessing you have not done, if any, recoveries on does. But, and I guess I understand that.
Yeah.
But, you know, because it's hard to know who a doe is. Like, you know,
sure.
if you're after the same buck for 5 years, you know who he is.
Yeah.
It's hard to know exactly what one doe is unless she's got a feature on her that is obvious, like, you know.
Albino.
Albino. Yeah, that would be different. But, you know.
That'd be a trophy.
Which in is this, I mean, she honestly deserves the same respect that the buck that you're looking for gets. But I'm guessing there's a lot of folks that lose does that are not going to go, you know, get a drone.
It's not in devil's advocate here. It's not like that thing's going to waste. Coyotes are going to
eat it.
It's
going to be used.
It's going to get used.
Yeah.
So my first probably 4, 5, 6 recoveries I did were all does.
Are you shitting me?
And
that's surprising.
I figured you'd never done one.
And they were all people I knew.
Right, okay.
But I, all of them were, you know, sub-marginal shots. I purposely told them, we were up at our farm, and I purposely told them, I said, if you shoot a doe, leave it. I said, I want to get some experience.
Yeah.
So when it does come time towards the rut and people are calling, I can go in with confidence knowing that, hey, I'm going to be able to find that deer for them. And so we were up at our farm, and my uncle, he used to play for Mizzou football, and so he had 5 or 6 of his football buddies up there. And one guy shot a doe, and it ran back into our big timber lot. And I was honestly pretty nervous. It was the first time I was going to do it, and I was like, man, it's like the leaves are on. It's heavy foliage right now. It's going to be tough.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had, you know, 5 or 6 – you know, 60-year-old men standing behind me.
Watching,
and I throw it up.
I'd be more worried about wrecking the fucking thing than I would finding the deer.
That's the thing.
I just wrecked my damn drone.
I was like, how embarrassing would that be if I put the drone up on the first recovery and it fell out of the sky?
Yeah.
I found it. Found it in 2 minutes, 45 seconds.
Nice.
Awesome. And, and I tell you what, I've never seen – more 60-year-old men act like kids in a candy shop and just freak out. And it was pretty cool to be a part of. I was like, if I get that reaction every time, I said, that's part of the reason why I do it. I said, that's awesome. And so did probably 3 or 4 that weekend, actually, just going around different scenarios. You know, there was a one in a cornfield that I was looking for, several in into timber, and then some in tall brush, and you know, on a power line and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So again, just wanted to get that confidence, and you know, I'd recommend any drone operator, anybody who wants to get into it, is to do those first few recoveries for free, just to get that experience before you go charging someone, you know, $400 or $500.
Right. Because you don't really know what the hell you're doing yet.
Yeah, because you want to be fair to your customer, and you got to be careful, because there's some drone operators out there that, you know, might not have the same equipment and might not have that experience, and you know, they'll go out there for 20 minutes, 30 minutes, and like, oh well, can't find them.
Right.
And then you're at $400 or $500, and I've spent 3+ hours looking for a deer before.
No shit.
And literally have spent every means necessary to where the hunter says there's literally nowhere else that you could fly to find this deer. And I went through probably 70, 80 different deer I looked at. So it's pretty crazy, but
yeah,
I will spend a decent amount of time looking for the deer until I find it.
That's cool.
And
has that been your longest track job? The 3 hours?
Yeah, 3+ hours. And I even called in another pilot to come help me, and he couldn't find it either. And so, again, with my customers, I'm going to spend every means necessary to try and recover that deer, whether that means calling in another pilot or spending 3 hours out there until there's nowhere else to look. So
yeah. So you've been doing it a year now.
Yep.
The service for a year. So you said you've been on like 25 or so this year.
So yeah, I've gotten a ton more calls than that, and so I've
had to say no a lot more than you would probably.
I was gonna say, yeah, I've personally done 25 calls. Mm-hmm. I've turned down probably 2 dozen calls in Kansas, several 200-inch deer in Kansas, which is unfortunate.
Yep.
Then when I am in Kansas City, I got people calling me in Northeast Missouri.
Right.
And
that's a long drive.
I will pass them off to some operators I know up there to try and, you know, spread the wealth a little bit. And
right.
Then when I'm back in, when I'm at my farm, and I got calls around the Kansas City area, I got pilots I know back here that I trust, have the same equipment, operate the same way, and I'll pass them those calls. I think I passed 4 calls in 2 days to one person. And so I kept calling him, and he was like, hey, what's up? And I said, hey, I got a call for you. And
like, what the hell are you coming back?
Yeah. And then I call him again in about an hour. I said, hey, I got another call for you. And he was like, okay, I'll head there next. And then later that night, I call him 2 hours later and said, hey, can you go out in the morning? I got another call for you. And he was like, keep it coming, man. He was like,
so you can run these during the day?
You can.
They're better. I mean, they probably don't do as well with as much heat.
Yeah,
probably,
so,
but.
So really what I tell my customers, again, I want to give them the best opportunity and the best scenario. So at nighttime, it's obviously
better.
Perfect thermals. Yeah. During the day, when you have cloud cover and you don't have that sun out, it's real easy to fly in, because you aren't getting that heat retained in you know, rocks and trees and all that stuff. If the sun is out, I'll tell customers and say, hey, let's give the deer some time. Let's wait till, you know, the thermals drop, it gets dark out, and then that's when I'll come out. So
right. Makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
Same thing with our thermals that, I mean, you can use them during the day. They're just not as effective.
Yeah.
Because everything's warmer.
But I will say, when you get cloud cover on, it's
much better.
Oh, yeah. Doesn't really make
well, and like,
it doesn't make a difference.
I sighted my rifle during the day just because that's when I have time.
Yep.
And cloudier days are easier to do it.
Oh yeah,
for sure.
But, yeah.
So I'm just curious, kind of like some of your craziest calls.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know how much you can say.
Yeah.
But like, this is just your first year, but I mean, what are, like, what's a few of your favorite or your craziest things that you've seen already?
I'll tell you two. So I'll start off with one. It actually happened in your guys' county.
You already talked about this one.
Yeah. And so I had the cops called on me. And so I had a hunter call me, and it was during gun season, and he shot a deer. And I was coming from another call. And so I got to him about, you know, 11 o'clock and, you know, 11:30 or so, and we were searching. And he shot this deer with a .30-06, and I found him about 950 yards away.
Gotcha.
And so when I located the deer, he was probably in like a 5 to 10 acre field behind some guy's house. And so I told the guys, like, man, I don't really like dropping the drone down to really, you know, get into someone's privacy, all that stuff. But I said, I'll do it real quick and I'll pop back out and we'll see if it's your deer. Mm-hmm. And so we popped down, it was his deer. And I was like, this is my advice. I was like, I'd go knock on the guy's door in the morning and
let him know my deer's dead back there.
See if you can go in and recover. Because when I'm in there, I don't need permission to fly over people's property.
Right.
However, if you want to go recover the deer, you still got to get that permission to go on their land and get it. And so I was like, that's what I would suggest. Let the deer, you know, have the night, because it was still alive.
Okay.
And it was kind of a high shot, but it didn't spine him. It was just right underneath the spine.
Kind of that area you're not sure if he does.
Yeah.
Gonna die.
Yeah, it's kind of in like the muscle meat area almost. Yeah. And so, so the next day about 11 o'clock, I text him and I'm like, hey, did you have any luck? And he says, you got time for a call. I got a story for you. And I was like, okay. So he calls me up and he says, so I did what you said. I went and I started driving down this guy's driveway, and it was really weird because it was like a brand new house, had solar panels, but everything was overgrown. Hmm. And so I go up, I knock on the door, can't get anything. So, you know, I back out and, you know, then I start making phone calls, trying to see if anybody knows him, and I get a number, can't get a hold of the guy.
Right.
And so then I'm sitting there and I'm like, well, the only thing I can think of is to call the game warden. And so he calls the game warden and he says, hey, so I shot a deer last night and I had a drone out trying to locate the deer, and I found him, but I can't get a hold of the guy. And the game warden says, so you're the guy with the drone. And he was like, yeah, I hired him out. And he was like, well, the cops got called on you last night. And by this time, I already packed up, headed back home, mm-hmm. and we were gone. And he was like, the cops got called out on you. And he was like, well, are we good? And he says, well, the guy that you are trying to get a hold of, he's a full-blown doomsdayer. And so he saw your red and green lights when you were flying last night, and he thought it was a attack on his house.
Oh, gosh.
And so he called the sheriff. He thought it was a full-blown attack coming for his house and coming for him, and he said he was prepared. So I started laughing. I was like, well, so it's funny that he was a doomsdayer, but I was like, what the hell is he doing up at midnight looking out his window?
Doomsday shit, man. You never know, bro. That's when it's going to go down.
Yeah, and so so he was like, let me make some phone calls. And so game warden called him back and said, here you go. Call this number. He should answer. And so he called him and he was like, yeah, come on out. And so the hunter ended up going out there, knocking on his door. He answered. And he started talking to him and he was like, I apologize. I had a drone out last night. Didn't mean to scare you or anything. He was like, man, I thought it was a full-blown attack on my house. And he's like, I've been prepping for this my whole life. And he was like, I didn't know what was going on. I didn't know if it was aliens or if it was government or what it was.
Nope, just looking for a deer.
Yeah.
And you're lucky it didn't get shot out of the air.
Well, yeah, I know. I was like, whew, that could have been bad.
Like, how low did you drop it?
I dropped it probably to like 100 feet, so
yeah.
It wasn't
still
too
like
low.
Not too low.
Right.
Yeah. And I've dropped this probably 50, 60 feet above a deer, and they don't even care it's there.
That's crazy.
And yeah. They'll just be feeding, and doesn't bother them one bit. But so they're talking. He's like, well, my deer's back there. He's like, do you mind if I go and look and see if he's dead back there? And he was like, man, I'm going to be honest with you. When the sheriff came out here, I got him to walk out there with me because I didn't know what you guys were doing out there.
Shit.
And I guarantee you, we bumped your deer. And he was like, but go ahead, go back there, take a peek and see what you can see. And so, you know, he walks back there and he walks to the bed and found blood and all that stuff. Deer wasn't there.
Oh, God.
And so looks around a little bit and comes out and he's getting ready to leave. And Doomsdayer, he says, hey man, what's your name? And so Hunter tells him his name, and he was kind of skeptical telling him that. He's like, I'm just curious because I keep a journal of everything that happens out here and every single day to the detail, to the minute and everything. And I want to write about this today. This is pretty interesting.
And, I mean, it is.
Yeah. And so he's writing it and he was like, but it gets better. And I was like, okay. And he says, so then he's like, where exactly do you hunt? And so he showed him what property he was hunting and everything. And he was like, well, I got, you know, a ton of acreage back here and no one hunts it. So if you want to hunt it all, it's all fair game. He was like, you have permission to hunt it. He said, just let me know and you can come hunt it. And he said, my jaw was dropped when I heard those words come out of his mouth. And he says, at that point, I almost didn't even care about the deer anymore because I just got permission on, I think it was like 100 or 150 acres. And he was like, best money I've ever spent. And
did he ever end up finding the deer?
He did not. And yeah, after it was one of those shots where I even told him, I said, I think it's, you know,
it might not die.
60-40 this deer is going to live just based off where the location of it is. It wasn't going to hit any of the vitals, and I think it was more in that meat and muscle area. And then second story, so I was sitting at my family, we do family dinner every Sunday night, and so I was sitting with them. It was, 5:30, and meals just coming out, mom cooks, and we're all getting ready to sit down at the table, and I get a call from a guy that I recovered 184-inch deer earlier that year, earlier in the year, and he called me and said, hey, if you don't have pictures in an hour, I'm going to need you. And he's, you know, up in the Macon area, so he's two and a half hours from me. And I'm thinking, you know, he's like, it's Sunday night. I'm sitting here eating dinner with my family. And I was like, I might just pass this one off to another drone operator. And so about 30 minutes later go by, and, you know, we're still eating. And, you know, I take the phone call real quick, and he's like, I'm going to need you. And he was like, did you get my pictures? And I was like, no, I didn't get any pictures. And so he sent me it, and this deer had 4 main beams. And so pictures are very deceiving on trail cam, right? And
they can be, yeah.
And so I looked at deer and I was like, oh, it's 175-inch deer, 180-inch deer probably. I was like, that's pretty good deer. I was like, I'd like to be a part of that. So I go back to the table and my wife's sitting next to me and I'm just like, eat faster. And I said, I got to go. And my dad's like, you're crazy for driving all the way up there to, you know, on Sunday night. And, you know, I got work the next morning and,
got to see this deer though.
Yeah. I was like, it's probably a pretty good deer. And so I was like, 4 main beams. You don't see 4 main beams very often.
No.
And, so I drive 2.5 hours up there and I get there probably about, I don't know, 10:30. And I get the drone up in there, and he's like, man, he said, my biggest deer, this is the hunter, he's like, my biggest deer I've shot is 140-inch deer. And he was like, I almost didn't even call you because I don't really care about deer, to be honest with you, that much. But this guy was telling me to call you, and this is a deer that I'm going to want to do. And so, you know, I put the drone up, and there was a field where he got shot, and then to the southeast, probably, oh, I don't know, there's probably 800-yard woodlot in between, but there was another field to the southeast that they were getting pictures of, and they said this deer was running back and forth between these two fields, and that's the way the deer went into the woods. Mm-hmm. And so when I get there, the hunter's telling me about it, and he's like, I shot this deer at 350 yards and dropped him. And so he's like, yeah, I'm just walking up there, and I get to about 50 yards, and this deer pops up and takes off. And so
it's gotta be a shitty feeling, I will say.
Oh, dude.
I get my gun up, and so I shoot again, and I think I missed him, and then I shoot again, and I hit him, and he went into some thick stuff, and he was like, I thought he laid down there, but I gave it probably 20 minutes or so before I walked over there, and when I got over there, deer wasn't there. And so they looked for blood, and the crazy part, snow was on the ground, so they couldn't even find blood in the snow. And so he was like, he was headed back kind of towards this field, and so I was like, well, I've had a lot of deer double back on me this year. And so I said, I'm going to start up here and work my way over there. And I had the drone up, and in 10 minutes I found the deer, and he was 450 yards to the northeast. And they're like, we would have never found that
deer.
Never
went that way.
And so after about 10 minutes, I was like, well, shit. I was like, I didn't drive 2.5 hours not to go, you know, get my hands on this deer. So I was like, I'll help drag him out with you guys. And,
yeah.
We'll get some pictures and all that stuff. And we walk up to the deer, and there was four of us there, and all four jaws were on the ground, and we had to pick him up. And I said, dude, I said, this isn't a 170-inch deer. I said, this is closer to like a 190-plus-inch deer.
Mm-hmm.
And he ended up coming out to 202.
Oh, cool.
It's like Kurt Geyer's buck.
Yeah.
It looks like a good buck, but you would never say 205.
Right.
He had four main beams, two drop tines. He had 53 to 55 inches of mass.
Golly.
When I put my hand around his base, I probably had – that much room right there
left
before I could wrap my fingers around
like two beer cans.
Oh, almost. Oh yeah. Yeah. Easily two beer cans almost.
That's crazy.
Damn. But yeah, I was like, I'm glad I didn't give this call to someone else, 'cause I would have been pissed if I didn't get to be part of this. I was like, it's just cool experience to be a part of something like that.
Yeah.
And, I told him, I was like, well, you just ruined hunting for yourself, 'cause you're never going to shoot a deer like this again.
Probably not. Life.
But
yeah, that's crazy.
But that the 184-inch deer I recovered for his other buddy early in the season, it was the guy's first buck with a bow. And
that's cool.
I was like, you ruined deer hunting for yourself as well, too. I was like, a lot of people hunt their entire lifetime and don't even get to see
180-inch deer.
Yeah. Don't even get to see one. And so I was like, you don't know what you just did.
Yeah.
But
so there's two other things that I mean, Mike, I might have some questions here. I got – two more questions. First is, so let's say you had 25, recoveries this year. What is your success rate? And I don't mean finding the deer, but I mean leaving that place knowing you know exactly what the story is. Whether it's you found the deer, it's not dead, you know, because I'm sure there's several of them that you found them.
Mm-hmm.
You see the shot and you're like, dude, that's a ham shot. Like, this deer's not dead. Mm-hmm. Or you found a dead deer. Like, how many times have you failed this year? I mean, how much is it kind of one of them deals where, you know, it just doesn't work out?
Yeah, out of the 25 calls, there's only been two calls I haven't found the deer or located them.
Or, like, knowing what's going on.
Yeah, two calls. I found every single deer, and again, with the capabilities on this, if I find the deer and he's in the area, you know, I'll find him. But those two calls that I did, they were city bucks. And I went through probably 70, 80 plus deer on each of those calls.
Right.
And spent probably 2.5 to 3 hours and ended up actually calling another pilot for one of them. And we just exhausted all options and any woodlots that we could think he'd go to.
Yeah.
Probably somebody under somebody's deck or something.
Well,
like that.
That's what I was telling him. I was like, man, I was like, there's so many deer roaming people's yards. I was like, I can't do it to people. I can't be flying and doing that privacy deal. I was like, I wouldn't want someone doing that to me. So I got to respect that.
Yeah.
And I was like, he could easily be under someone's deck, but I was like, I'm not going to find him there. That's for sure. But it wasn't for lack of effort. It was just it just didn't work out, and
other factors played into it.
Exactly. Yeah. And besides that, I was pretty impressed with how many we were able to locate and actually know what's going on with that deer, whether he's going to live or die.
Fact of the matter is, you're still a young pilot.
Exactly.
I mean, this is your first year.
Yep.
Doing it. And then the other thing, I always, at least this is just my feeling that I get. I feel like you're either a drone guy or you're a dog guy.
Yep.
And, like, it's almost like the Chiefs and Raiders or something, you know, Mizzou and KU or whatever. And I guess I don't look at it that way. Mm-hmm. I feel like they both have merit.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, like, Matt has the same similar numbers that you have. Like, he's successful a lot of the times. And, I mean, I guess you've only been doing it for a year, so you don't maybe have all the years of experience with, you know, different things happening. But, like, have you worked with a dog in conjunction? Do you pass calls off to dogs if you, you know, just don't know other pilots in the area? Or, you know, like, what have you noticed with the dog community, with you specifically in the drone community?
Yeah.
And, you know, I know Matt's done recoveries where there's been a drone involved as well.
Oh, yeah.
Or whatever. But, you know, kind of what have you noticed in your first year?
Well, what I've noticed is there's a shit ton of keyboard warriors on Facebook going back and forth.
For sure.
Got to use a drone.
Who don't fly a drone or have a dog.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't even mess with that. I stick to myself, man, and focus on what I'm doing. But realistically, I think there's places for both. I think, you know, when you're talking early season, you're talking a lot of foliage left on the trees. Mm-hmm. I think dogs are a little bit more efficient just because it's harder for the thermal to see the ground and get through all that foliage.
Right.
And so thinking for next year, you know, I got to be fair to my customers. And, you know, I actually have recommended some guys to go get dogs before coming back to the drone. And I was like, if you can get a dog out there, I said, that's what I recommend. But if you can't, that's when I'll come in. And kind of, you know, again, be fair to them and let them know the possibilities of the difficulties and searching when there's that much foliage. And then when you get towards the later season, when all the leaves are off, that's where I'd say, you know, if the deer's in the area, I'll find them.
Right. That's where you shine.
And, you know, I don't really know. I've never worked with a dog. I think it'd be cool to link up with the dog handler and maybe go out on the same trail and just say, hey, you go take a crack at it. And if you can't find them, then call me and I'll come out and try it, or vice versa.
Yeah.
And see if there's any luck that way.
Well, I think in both the, you know, the people digging their heels in the sand comes from two things. They've either had a really shitty experience with a drone or a shitty experience with a dog, because there are bad dogs out there.
Oh, yeah.
And there are bad handlers and there's bad drone pilots, I'm sure, too.
Oh, yeah.
Or they've had the exact opposite.
Mm-hmm.
Which.
Great experience.
I would be that way, too.
Yeah.
You know, like, I know Matt, if there's a dead deer, she's probably gonna, Mabel, I think's her name, right?
Mabel, yeah.
She's gonna find the deer. Sounds like you. If there's a dead deer, you're gonna find the deer.
Yeah.
So like if I called you out or Matt out and you guys found my deer, like likely I'm calling you the next time.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
Why would I not?
If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Right.
Yeah.
And so that's when I think people dig their heels in the sand, and be like, nope, drones suck, or drones are awesome. Dogs suck. Dogs are awesome. And I get it both ways. I mean, you know, can't fool a dog's nose. You can't fool a drone's thermal ability, you know.
Yeah.
The mess up comes from two different things. You have a human being operating this, and that human being can mess up.
Oh, yeah.
That's not going to mess up. That's going to show you everything every time.
Yep.
With a dog, you have a animal with a human being that could screw up.
Exactly.
I mean, that's the only variables that are there is just,
I mean, even
we're still natural things that aren't perfect.
Aren't
we're not
perfect.
Computers.
Yeah. You know? And that's the thing is even as a drone pilot, you have to have an eye for these things. And again, why I did those first, you know, four or five calls for free. Cause I was like, I need to get, you know, with the drone, with the deer and kind of see what that looks like to know exactly what I'm looking for. And, yeah, there's a lot of people that just don't have that experience and they think they know what a deer looks like, or they think that's your deer, but it really isn't. And so there's a lot of back and forth, and I personally think there's places for both.
Right.
I'm not, you know, I'm a pilot and I'm not saying drones are superior. I think there's a time and place for everything.
Yeah.
I will say one of the things that I think the advantage to a drone versus a dog is if you have, let's say, an area that let's take your lease for instance,
mm-hmm.
you have other people hunting it, and you don't want to go in the middle of that and disturb
a little less invasive
disturb the area. Yeah. You know, I think with a drone you can go in and you can locate that deer to figure out if it is dead or if it's still alive and assess the situation before going in and walking around. And kind of boogering everything out. So that's one of the big advantages I like to think a drone has over a dog, but, you know.
Well, and I have noticed, like, watching Mike's stuff out in Ohio, like, sometimes, you know, he puts a lot of videos out and he'll find a deer that's not dead and, you know, he'll be talking to the hunter and be like, well, there's a deer.
Yep.
Tomorrow morning, you do what you need to do.
Yeah. I mean,
you know, and obviously in that situation, if that deer is not fatally wounded, a dog is likely, if it finds it, going to push it, you know, potentially.
Yeah.
Likely, in my opinion. But if the deer is not, like, fatally wounded, that deer is going to run.
Oh, 100%.
So, like, that's nice, you know, where you're not bothering the deer with the drone.
Yeah.
You know, there's all kinds of, you know, different ways to skin a cat, in my opinion. That's why, absolutely. That's why I love that they're both legal in this state. And we don't live in, like, a state like Iowa, although there's giants there, that you can't do either.
Yeah.
You can't do a drone. You can't have a damn dog. I think you can have... Is there... No, I don't think you can do a dog at all.
I don't think you can.
Yeah, I thought, like... I know Missouri, the dog has to be on a leash.
Yep, they have to have a leash.
The leash can be long.
Yep.
But, so, I'm pretty sure in Iowa, there's not... Like, you can't do anything. So, can you imagine in Iowa...
Oh, I'd be
shooting
pissed.
A 220-inch deer and not being able to have someone who could come find it for you.
Yeah.
You know?
My thing is, you know, technology is there, and this is how I see it, is a drone is another tool in the tool belt. It's another resource that hunters can come to. You know, if a dog works, great. If dog doesn't work, drone is the next tool that you can have. If a drone works, great. And if it doesn't work, then you have the dog as a tool in there. And so, you know,
I've heard stories both ways.
100%.
A dog has found something a drone didn't, and a drone has found something a dog didn't.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so.
And I'm right there with you. I've heard both ways, and it's just unfortunate states like Iowa and Illinois where you have absolute giants being shot each year, and they're not using the technology that is available to try and recover those deer.
Yeah,
so.
That sucks. What about you, Mike? You got? I got another question.
I got some.
But,
out of the 25 you did, how many were bow and how many were rifle?
I would say probably 75% were bow.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense.
I'd say, yeah, probably about 25% were gun and a couple of youth hunters first year. And then just a couple bad shots with guns. So.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes the bullet doesn't expand too when it hits.
Sure.
And so there's a lot of factors that go into it to where sometimes it's just out of your control.
Well, dude, like last season when the 14-year-old, when he shot, it was, I would say, about 140-inch or so 8-pointer. I ended up confirming that he didn't hit the deer. I thought he did. But if I would have found blood on that deer, that's the deer that I would have had one of the two out for sure. And at the time, it would have been
dog.
It would have been Matt, because I knew Matt, and you guys couldn't do anything.
Yeah.
So, but like that's one of them situations where me as a hunter, it's not so much about the. It is about the deer, but it's about, you know, what's behind it. It's my son's first buck.
Absolutely.
It would have been. I mean.
Yeah.
You know, it would have been a good one too. Like all those things, but then you know, as a hunter, I went out and did my due diligence, and were like, dude, you didn't hit him. I thought you did, but. It was a clean miss, bro, which I guess is better than a injury.
Absolutely.
But, yeah, so.
Did you pay attention to it, like, with your bows, if they were mechanical or fixed blade?
I'd say majority of the time it was mechanical.
Mechanical.
That surprises me.
A lot of rages. And, you know, I'll pull up and I'll kind of ask them, like, you know, what kind of broadhead are you shooting? And they'll tell me and they'll say rage. And I'm like... I'll just be sitting there.
A Chinese plastic broke.
Yeah. Well, the one I was doing here this past Sunday, it didn't expand because one of the blades got frozen. And it just zipped right through it. And, I mean, I thought it was a liver shot based off of, I mean, we located this deer and it looked liver shot, looked perfect height, looked just a little bit back. And I was like, man, if that didn't expand, I was like, you could have literally just missed that deer. And I went out there, I think, three times to try and locate this deer. So I went out the first time after about 24 hours after the shot and found the deer. He was still alive. I went back, the next morning, found the deer still alive, gave it 6 more hours.
Damn.
And found the deer still alive. And I was like, man, I think you just missed any sort of...
important things.
Yeah. And I was like, I hate to say it, but I think this deer is going to live. And with it being end of season, it looks like he's going to be bigger next year. And
Or he's going to be messed up because you injured him.
Or he's going to be messed up. Yeah. I mean, no, there's always
could
a chance
go either way.
To die from infection or something like that. But, he looked...
In total, so that was like 2 full days, basically.
Yeah, and that was right down the road for me. And so, like, when I get calls like that and they're right down the road, you know, customers are spending the type of money, I'm going to try and help recover their deer regardless.
Yeah, I might stop back by, do stuff like that.
Yeah, and so, like, earlier this season when we got that first snow, located a deer the night before, and I was like, I don't have anything going on in the morning. I said, I'll meet you here at 6 a.m. if you want, and came back 6 a.m. and found the deer dead. He was probably 40 yards from his last bed.
Damn.
And so nice. It's always nice to try a little bit harder, go that extra mile for the customer.
Sure.
To
and if it's, you know, local to you, makes sense.
Yeah.
So what about some other applications? We talked about this a little bit before we started recording, but, you know, there's other things you can do with this.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
So, you know, you are officially off-season as of – Well, I guess you could technically get a call tonight.
I guess technically I could.
You could, because today is the last day.
I got no call, so not probably
yet.
Not.
Yeah. So, you know, what do you look forward to, you know, after deer season, and what are some things that, like, you think are really good applications for, you know, a thermal drone?
Yeah, so really right now, this past probably month and these next few weeks, I've got a lot of herd analysis lined up with farms. And so I flew 750 acres here probably 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll go on their farm, and I have a couple different things I'll do. I can do, you know, total number of deer on your farm. I can do bucks versus does to try and figure out what that buck to doe ratio is.
Mm-hmm.
I can do all animals. So when I was doing that, he wanted all the animals. So I found turkeys roosted in the tree. I found 3 coveys of quail on there. I found some coyotes, all that stuff. And what I'll do is I'll go pin every single animal on my remote, and then I'll export that to a KVM file, and then I'll take that data, put it into an email so they can put it into Google Maps and see where all those pins are, and then give them some data. You know, this is what the ideal buck to doe ratio is, this is where you're at, this is how you get to that ideal buck to doe ratio, and then if you know for the overall deer count, if you want to increase your herd, decrease your herd, this is how many deer you got to take off your farm to try and maintain that and to have a healthy herd. I got another 250 acre farm I'm going to fly actually this weekend and do another herd analysis on. So
how much does that service cost?
It really just depends. I think every situation is different, and
how big the farm is.
How big the farm is, whether they want, you know, an overall deer count or they want all the animals. And then also, I'm open to them coming to me and say, hey, can you do this? And so if I can do it, I'll tell them. And that might change the price depending what the timeline is going to be on that, how much longer it might take to do that service. So as much as I'd like to have a fixed price on that, it's very variable, just, farm dependent. So,
okay. You got like a base though, be like, it's at least going to be this much, and then we go from there.
Just
so, you know, people have an idea.
So I usually do it, per acre. So, usually on the overall deer count, I'll do like $1.50 per acre.
Gotcha.
And then it'll kind of go up based off that. I mean, I'm not going to be charging $10 an acre.
Right.
For all the animals, but it's not going to be $1.50 because you're going in, you're checking every
more
single
time. Yeah, more
yeah.
time. Yeah, more effort. Yeah, I get it.
Yep. Right. And so that's one of the things. Another thing is pet recovery. There's a lot of people that lose dogs, and you know,
dude, that I didn't even think of that.
Yeah.
Pets are a big, you know, they're part of someone's family. So
yeah, they are.
you know, you lose your dog that you've had for 6-7 years growing up with, and
excuse me.
No, you're good. You know, they'll call me and they'll have me out to look for you know, their dogs. You know, I had one I was going to do, so I can do pet recovery in Kansas,
okay, in
Missouri. So, so I had a person call me in Kansas and they're like, hey, can you come out and look for this dog? And I was like, yeah. I was like, I just got home from a long trip though. And I said, my wife will kill me if I leave right when I get home here to go do that. So I was like, can we wait till the morning? They're like, yeah, that's not a problem at all. And then I got up at 5 a.m. to go out there, and I woke up at 5 a.m. to a text at 4 a.m. saying the dog showed up at the front porch.
Yeah, that's
like,
a good thing, though.
I was like, perfect. Yeah. I was like, I'm glad I didn't have to come out there. I'm glad you got your pet back. And
we can save that heartache. Like, I have a neighbor that they lost a dog a few winters ago during a snowstorm.
Yeah.
And he was gone the whole time. Long story short, once the snow started subsiding and things kind of thawed a little bit, he was dead in the pond in between us and them. And, you know, it would have been nice knowing.
And that's the thing is,
you know, found them, unfortunately.
There's so many different factors. When you go on a pet recovery, it's a lot tougher because there's so many different factors. Whether
a lot more there's a different type of emotion involved there.
Yeah, so someone picked up the dog. The dog got hit. And
yeah, it could not be in the area anymore. Sure,
could not be in there. There's so many different factors. Whereas you're looking for, you know, a potential dead deer that's been, you know, wounded.
Nobody's picking that deer up.
Exactly. They're not going to go far too. So with that, livestock recovery too, cattle, horses get out. You know, that's someone's livelihood right there potentially. And so trying to recover those,
lost people.
I was going to say, so, search and rescue. So, you can't put a price on a human.
And you're in you're in the KC area too. Like there's a lot of more people, you know, than a rural area.
Yeah. And so, you know,
wasn't there a thing on, TV recently about a drone that found a kid in the cornfield?
Yep.
Wasn't that a thermal drone?
That was really recently.
That's what I thought. Yeah.
And so I kind of told myself when I started this, I said, if I ever got a call to go try and help search for a lost kid or missing person, I said I'll be there in a heartbeat and I won't charge anything because, again, you can't put a price on a human.
Right.
You know, human life is worth more than, you know, $500 to me. So
$350.
$350. there was a couple calls that were about 6 hours, 7 hours away from me in southeast Missouri. And, you know, I toyed with going back, you know, down there, but they already had, I think, like 3 or 4 pilots going. And I was like,
plus you were 6 hours away.
Time I get there, I said, you guys are either going to find this person or you're not. And then on top of that, too, I was like, by the time I get there, it's going to be like 3 a.m.
So what do you do? Do you reach out to like the different cities around and just say, hey, I've got a thermal drone. If you guys ever have a missing person, you know, please call me. Like, have you kind of started that process with the different municipalities or however that works?
Yeah, some of your, like, KCPD and, like, all your bigger, I guess, more funded police departments and stuff like that are going to have their drone people.
That's true.
They're going to have the funds to do that. I know a PD officer, he's my brother-in-law's friend, and he's up in Atchison, Kansas, and I gave him a card and I said, hey, if you guys ever run into any issues, because they don't have a drone squad up there.
Sure.
And I was like, if you ever have any issues, give me a call. And I said, I can be there in about 45 minutes. And so I've kind of started putting feelers out there just kind of get my name out. You know, I'm here to help if you guys need me. And if you don't need me, I completely understand you want to do it yourself, but you know, again, it's another tool that I have, and if I can be a part of helping someone, you know, being found, you know, I'm here. So
that's awesome.
That's cool.
But
all kinds of different options.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, this thing probably wasn't cheap.
No.
So
no, it wasn't.
You know, let's just pretend it was $10,000. That's a lot of $500 increments at a time.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Isn't that $2,500 calls? So in 1 year, you might pay for it. But then you've got the fuel that you, you know, the truck and all the other stuff you have to buy.
Marketing, you got fuel, you got all the extra. So I, you know, I have several different types of lights on there, extra batteries. I have a big monitor that I put on the back of my truck that customers can watch so they're not looking over my shoulder at the screen. Because, you know, I want to give them experience so they can see what I'm seeing when I'm in there. So yeah, there it's a lot more, but yeah, it's not a cheap investment, but you get to do some cool shit with it. That's for sure.
Yeah, and you see stuff that other people never see.
Oh yeah, yeah. Oh yeah. So yeah. It's pretty crazy technology.
What about you, man?
Plug your shit, man. Give people your number.
Before we hit the stop button, talk about where people can get a hold of you, where they can find you on social, website, all that stuff.
Yeah, so you can find me on Bird Eye Drone Services on Facebook.
And that is B-U-R-D.
Dash E-Y-E.
Yep.
Drone Services, either on Facebook, Instagram, and then, I don't know, should I give out my number on here?
If you want, it's up to you, man.
You can reach me at 913-991-6201. But, yeah, if there's really anything that you think you could use for drone services, just give me a call, talk to me. I'll tell you if I can do it, and I'll be honest with you if I can't. And maybe I do know someone that can do what you're looking for. So, but, yeah, that's pretty much it. And, you know, again, I appreciate all my customers that, you know, put their trust in me this year, and I look forward to hopefully being able to help some other people.
Well, I'll tell you what, I mean, we're good to go. Like, we got either Matt or Nathan.
Yeah, I think and we're covered.
I don't ever want to call you.
That's what I tell them. I said, I hope you never have to call me.
But
I hope you have to.
It's nice knowing someone in the area that if we did have something happen, you know, we've been lucky the last few years, honestly, as a group. We haven't. I mean, the last deer I've had to worry about was the one over there, and we found him the next morning pretty easily.
Nice.
But
that one I shouldered, but we knew he lived.
Yeah, so. But, you know, in that situation, it might have been nice, you know, to find. But we did know.
Yeah.
In fact, immediately. We literally saw him. But now, looking back, we did see that deer.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, it's just – it's nice to have that tool in your tool belt. And you talk about the people, the customers you've met that become friends.
Yeah.
It's the same situation with the podcast. You know, we met Matt Davis through this. We've met you through this. And, like, we save information. You know, we know who people are, and we remember those. So, dude, Nathan, thanks for coming on and talking about drone deer recovery or drone services.
There
Let's
you
just
go.
Talk about because it's not just deer recovery. We appreciate you coming on, man.
No, I appreciate you guys. Yeah, if you guys ever need me, hopefully you don't, but give me a shout. And thanks for having me on Missouri Woods and Water Podcast. It's been an honor being on here. So
no problem, man. Thanks for coming out.
Absolutely.
All right, we'll see you, bud.
See you.
I saw this app.
I got a hit.
In the new limited series, DTF St. Louis, Jason Bateman, David Harbour, and Linda Cardellini star as three suburbanites who spice up their love lives.
Wow.
Don't miss the new HBO original limited series, DTF St. Louis, premiering March 1st on HBO Max.
Spring break isn't what it used to be. It's better. This spring, stay 3 nights and get a $50 Best Western gift card. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Visit bestwestern.com for complete terms and conditions.
This episode is brought to you by Peloton. Break through the busiest time of year with the brand new Peloton Cross Training Tread Plus. Powered by Peloton IQ. With real-time guidance and endless ways to move, you can personalize your workouts and train with confidence, helping you reach your goals in less time. Let yourself run, lift, sculpt, push, and go. Explore the new Peloton Cross Training Tread Plus at onepeloton.com.
President's Day savings are happening now at the Home Depot with up to 40% off select appliances. Looking to upgrade your fridge? Check out LG's newest model, serving up ice in all kinds of styles. Cube, crushed, craft ice, and now new mini craft ice straight from the dispenser. From cold brew to fizzy favorites, these refrigerators will have you entertaining like a pro. Shop President's Day savings and get up to 40% off, plus free delivery on select appliances like LG at the Home Depot. Free delivery on appliance purchases of $1,498 or more. Offer valid February 5th through the 25th, U.S. only. See store online for details.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.